Yeah, welcome to Wrestling Uncensored. Tonight on the show, we're talking about the WWE releases. Nia Jax, Karrion Kross, Keith Lee, and others let go from the WWE. We just watched SmackDown. We're watching AEW Rampage. You can hear Johnny North coughing. He's ready. Let's go.
Oh, we can hear me. That's great.
Yeah, I can still hear you.
I can still hear you, too.
Yeah, I know. I got to cut your mic off before the show starts, or you need to be quieter when I'm doing the intro. Something needs to happen, John. Something needs to change, because I can't be doing the intro for the show and hearing you coughing along. I started yelling at AJ yesterday. He was whistling while I was doing the intro. Got to figure that out. I know the team is probably watching right now. Maybe they could help me out and cut John's mic while we're doing the intro. Anyways, what's up, John? How are you, man?
I'm all right. I got a nice surprise here. I didn't expect Bryan Danielson to be wrestling tonight, so that's a nice surprise to start the show, Rampage.
Yeah, pretty good. He's wrestling Anthony Bowen right now, one half of the tag team, The Acclaimed. I was going to call them the John Cena guys. The Acclaimed. And the other guy, Max Caster, the rapper of the group, cut a pretty good rap promo on Bryan Danielson. Talked about how he's only famous from his wife's reality show. And then the line of the night. I mean, there's nobody that's going to top this. Nobody said anything better than this on SmackDown. You talk about bars, Johnny. I'm going to put you into poverty, dog, because I end careers quicker than your father-in-law. What? My God. That's brutal. And if you don't know, Bryan Danielson's wife's mother is married to John Laurinaitis. So his father-in-law is John Laurinaitis, who just released 18 people from the WWE. So for him to drop that line tonight on Rampage, I'm going to put you into poverty, dog, because I end careers quicker than your father-in-law. Good God Almighty. Hell of a line. Great stuff.
It's a good line. I mean, it's not all on Laurinaitis, though. It's not like he's the main guy deciding, these guys are all getting fired. He's just the guy who's dealing out the firings. That's it. So, I mean, it's kind of true, but it's
he's the axe.
Not completely accurate. Yeah,
he's just the axe. He's not the guy swinging the axe. But he is the damage, right? He's the one making the phone calls.
He has a bit of a say.
He sends the emails. Yeah, he's got a say. He's involved. So Max Caster and Bryan, or not Max Caster, the other one.
Anthony Bowens. Hey, I hear voices.
Yeah, he came
I'm not Randy Orton,
No. Do they torture you, these voices? Or do they understand?
Hopefully they understand.
All right. What's the lyric? They talk to me. They understand. They talk to me.
Yeah, they talk to me. Yeah,
I hear voices in my
head.
That's all I know. They talk to me. They understand. They talk to me. So he talks back because they understand, right? He must talk back because they understand what he's saying.
I feel like he did a promo talking about that one time, didn't he? When he was feuding with The Fiend?
I think it's so stupid that they made his character just use his theme song as part of his gimmick. I thought that was bad, but hey.
Triple H's health is in question again? People asking this?
Yeah, I don't know. We just got a question about Triple H's health. I mean, this is something I've been wondering. Since his heart episode, whatever happened there, he had a heart issue. They changed NXT. Mm-hmm. They fired a bunch of people. And we haven't seen him since. Triple H has been completely missing since he's had that. He hasn't made a public appearance as far as I know. Where's the game? It's a good question, Abdul.
Well, I feel like this goes back to, I don't know if you remember when they did Randy Orton Triple H on Raw. I think it was last year. Ah, nice new sounds. New subscribers, always good. But remember that Triple H Randy Orton match on Raw where it wasn't really even a match? Because Triple H didn't feel like he was good enough to have a match? It feels like he's been, not in great health, for a while now.
Yeah, but there was a heart thing, right? He was in the hospital.
Yeah, that was much worse. They said it may have been even considered a heart attack, depending on who you talk to. So,
but I'm saying since that happened, we haven't seen him. He hasn't made an appearance saying, hey, I'm all right. Don't worry about me. I'm the cerebral assassin. Like, none of that. We haven't seen him at all. So I wonder if he's okay. I hope he's all right.
Sure they...
Sending my best wishes to the game, as always.
I'm sure if he wasn't, you know, they'd say something, you know.
I don't think they would.
Talk about that.
I don't think they would.
No, I think they'd mention something. It's not just suddenly, you know, Triple H will pass away one day and then they'll finally mention it or something.
Whoa.
I don't think they'll be like that.
I don't think that's happening. I hope Triple H is okay. But there was definitely a Hart episode recently, and we haven't seen him since. So you wonder where the game is and how he's doing. I hope that old Trips is doing all right. Bryan Danielson just beat that guy Anthony Bowens, made him tap out. Never in doubt.
Not surprising. Yeah, no. Not a surprise at all.
Nice to add Bryan Danielson to the card, though. It was the last minute. I think it was just done today. Adding Danielson to the show. Pardon me. But, yeah, I thought that was good. Great to see Bryan Danielson. Gotta love watching him on Rampage.
Was that the first time he finished with the lapel lock? Like,
no, I think he
has. I feel like he's always... Has he? Because he's always done different submissions, I find, almost every kind of victory.
Mm-hmm. I feel like his first match, he used the lapel lock to win.
He used it, but he didn't win with it. I feel like it's the first time he's won with it.
You might be right, because his first match with Kenny?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if he's actually won with the lapel lock. Anyhow, he did tonight. Oh, and here comes CM Punk for the promo with Eddie Kingston. This is going to be good, man. Oh, this is a good episode of Rampage. CM Punk, Eddie Kingston, face-to-face promo. So the WWE has released Nia Jax, Keith Lee, Karrion Kross, Scarlett, B-Fab, Mia Yim, Eva Marie, Harry Smith, Grand Metalik, Lince Dorado, Frankie Monet, Amber Moon, Oney Lorcan, Jesse Kamiya, Zeta Ramir, Trey Baxter, Katrina Cortez, and Jeet Rama. Now, some of these people I am totally unfamiliar with, and you will be too. But let's talk about the people that we do know. Let's talk about Nia Jax, which seems to be the most controversial release so far. She posted a long, long statement about Nia Jax, or about her release. And about her mental health, and we could read that statement here for you on the show. You could get that statement up for you from her Instagram. But Nia Jax, among some, according to the New York Post, released, at least in part, because they refused to get vaccinated against COVID-19.
She's not the only one, apparently. They said
no.
Once released.
The New York Post and the Wrestling Observer both reporting that Nia Jax and others were released in part due to their unwillingness to get vaccinated because, of course, the WWE is a traveling company and they need certain people to travel, and many countries won't let you in or out. You know, depending on your vaccination status. So it's an issue if you're a traveling performer, and it was an issue for certain WWE wrestlers, and apparently Nia Jax was one of them. But, you know, I don't know. It's kind of vague, the story, because it's saying, yes, her refusal to get vaccinated was a part of the reason why she was released, but maybe not the entire reason, and other people apparently on the list of people that were released due to their refusal to get vaccinated, but it's not clear if it's all the people on the list or just a few. It seems like some of the people on the list of 18 that were released due to their refusal to get vaccinated, but then some were released due to completely different circumstances. And they were all told it was budget cuts. Like, none of them were told reasons why they were being released, be it vaccination or we don't like you or we see nothing with you or whatever. They're told, you know, budget cuts, we got to cut costs and whatever, which is what businesses say when they don't want to really give you a reason, even though they may have a reason. They can't, you know, for legal reasons, go out and say that because then they're up for lawsuits for wrongful termination. So if they say budget cuts, it's harder to sue them afterwards. So that's what they do. So Nia Jax, not vaccinated against COVID, apparently. We find this out. And also released by the WWE, which is honestly shocking. You know, she's cousins with The Rock. She's been a big star. She's been a champion in the company. She's wrestled some big matches. I was shocked that the WWE had released Nia Jax. Let's get her statement here for you. So here's Nia Jax. Yeah, it's a long one. From her Instagram. I usually keep my personal life private, but yesterday's reports leave me with no option but to clarify matters. I recently took a short leave of absence from WWE for a mental health break. I've been working through so much, more than I can share, and so I took some time with the full support of the company to take care of myself. Earlier this week, after WWE sent me my schedule to return to the ring for the November 15th show, I asked for an extension to my mental health break, feeling that I needed more time and hoping that I would have the ongoing support of the company I have given my all to for the past 7 years. I did not receive a response. The next I heard, I was being released. My vaccination status was never mentioned. I wasn't given any choices or options. It breaks my heart to be so abruptly let go without consultation when dealing with so much privately. I love my career at WWE. I love the men and women I worked with, and I'm going to need time to process this huge loss. I appreciate those people who have shown understanding and compassion during an incredibly difficult time. Tough. Going through a tough time, and now apparently it's been made tougher, right? Losing her job. It's a tough break for Nia Jax. John, I know you never have sympathy for anyone when they're released, but, I mean, she seems to be dealing with some mental health issues, and, you know, whatever. Sympathy or not, I'm just surprised she got released. I thought WWE liked her.
Well, it's a tough situation for a lot of reasons. I mean, you can bring up the whole vaccination issue. Like, one part, yes, it's going to different countries. That's a problem. Then just the people you work with, too. I can't imagine some people are happy working with someone who's not vaccinated. I imagine issues might come up with that. So maybe the work environment as well. If it creates an uneasy work environment, maybe it's better to cut that instead of a bigger name, in a sense. So there's that taken into consideration. There's also the fact that she's kind of been injured quite a bit recently. Like, wasn't she injured like a year or two ago? Like, she's out for almost a year, and now she took time off again. I'm not saying that, you know, she can't take time off, but the fact that you keep taking time off, that usually, like, historically in WWE, that doesn't play well into your favor.
Not only that, you know, there's a time when they may feel like they've run their course with certain talents, right? I mean, sometimes the WWE just decides to move on. They moved on with Braun Strowman. They moved on with Bray Wyatt. And now they're moving on with Nia Jax. 37 years of age, apparently. The mandate for the WWE in hiring women especially is 25 and under. So they're not looking for 37-year-old people right now, apparently.
Yeah,
which is kind of,
I imagine,
rough.
There's exceptions to that, but that's like for the new ones starting. Like,
yeah,
that's what they want. Sure, but
yeah, but they're looking to get younger in general.
Right, as they should.
And if you're not one of the main pillars of the company, and if you're kind of on the outside of things, I guess you could be let go. But if Nia Jax could be let go, I think any number of them could be let go. Look at Alexa Bliss. Like, she could be let go. At this point, anybody could be let go.
Yeah,
I got,
definitely. I mean,
you
if you
know.
think about it, with Charlotte as well, that could easily happen. It feels like that could happen at any point because it feels like there's been so much controversy with her. However, she's a draw, and it's hard to actually get rid of her because she's one of the most over people in all of WWE. So it's really hard to get rid of her. Also, you got to wonder, did that play a factor in as well, that whole Charlotte versus Nia match?
Yeah, good point. That match kind of went off the rails, right? Things went wrong in that match. Things got a little too real. Is Nia Jax in trouble because of that? Is that, you know, one of the reasons why she got fired? Because she messed with the queen? It's Charlotte Flair. She's one of the top stars in the company. She could do whatever she wants. She could change the script in a promo, and they're not going to do anything to her. She's protected. She got into a real fight with Charlotte Flair, who's protected. She got into this fight on TV. Somebody's got to be fired after that, you would think. That could be a reason alone to fire somebody. You fight for real with Charlotte Flair? Match goes off the rails? It's a fireable offense. Not to mention all the other things that Nia Jax has done in the past, right? Punching Becky Lynch, busting her face open, injuring different people. I mean, the
That's an
Charlotte Flair,
accident, though.
yeah, sure, I don't hold her accountable for it at all. I think that, you know, she was a little green and she's bigger and stronger than everybody else. Things are going to happen. I thought Nia Jax had a kick-ass match with Ronda Rousey when Ronda was around. I like Nia Jax. I'm a little disappointed that she got let go. I'm just saying, from WWE's perspective, trying to figure it out. I'm trying to figure out why they would let her go, right? And to me, I think, maybe the Charlotte Flair thing was the last straw. She's not vaccinated. She's refusing to get vaccinated. We can't take her on tour. She's fighting Charlotte on TV. She's 37, and we're kind of done with her. There's nothing else for her to do. We're moving on. We got new stars we're trying to get over. We got Shotzi now. Fuck it. Let's get rid of Nia. Like, I don't know. I was surprised when it happened, but if you kind of think it through, you can see why they might make that move. Like, you could see why. Again, I like Nia. I think she's super talented. I think the WWE could have had a place for her for several more years to come. I think that AEW or Impact would have a great place for her. I think Nia Jax is money in pro wrestling, and she could go wherever she wants. She's unique. You know, there's nobody else in WWE like Nia Jax. Nobody else in pro wrestling really like Nia Jax right now. On the women's side, like who is the, you know, who is the giant Samoan smashing machine?
Well, I guess it would be Tamina now, right?
Yeah, but Nia is like Tamina 2.0.
She is a better version in a sense. You're not wrong about that. But again, like they have somebody else, and they're probably looking to groom someone new anyways. They probably had someone in mind. So that's it. They just realized when they looked at the landscape of everything, who can we cut off and who's causing us more problems? They probably just looked at it like that.
Somebody they've done a lot with for a long time, and now they're letting her go. I was a little bit surprised to see Nia Jax let go. I was more surprised, honestly, to see B-Fab let go because they just debuted Hit Row like a couple of weeks ago on SmackDown. She was on SmackDown last week. Meanwhile, this jabroni-ass group came out tonight. We can talk about them tonight, but it's B-Fab, you know, she's the one lady in the group, and she's not there anymore. She got released yesterday. I think she probably refused to get COVID vaccinated. That's my guess. Because, like, otherwise, what the fuck? What did she do? Right? It's got to be a vaccination thing with her. That's my bet. Because, like, why debut them with her and then release her a couple weeks after their debut? They haven't changed the gimmick. It's the exact same thing. Just minus her. And they come out, they don't even address it. It's not a good look. This group looked terrible tonight, by the way. Hit Row. We'll talk about their booking tonight. Horrendous. Not their
Well, I
fault.
find it.
WWE's fault.
No, you're completely right, but I find it's very much like how Malakai Black, how he showed up on SmackDown, he took out Big E, And then suddenly he's released. Like, you start an angle with him, and then you just cut him off. It's like, creative's doing one thing, and then WWE management's doing a whole other thing. So I think that's kind of the thing where they're like, well, we have these ideas, we're going to do them. But in the backstage, like, well, we're going to cut this person. Who cares what they're doing? Just cut them. That's what it kind of seemed like.
And you wonder, like, who's left?
Oh,
And
there's
then
still a
you,
lot of people. Don't
I guess,
worry.
but you watch the show and you're like, Madcap Moss? He still has a job? I gotta watch Madcap Moss and Rick Boogs and Baron Corbin and all sorts of jabronis we saw tonight.
No
Ridge
boobs tonight.
Holland? No Boogs tonight. Mansoor? The rest of Hit Row? I mean, I don't know, man.
Not saying it was good.
I watched SmackDown to see Charlotte Flair. She is a draw. She, to me, is the draw of SmackDown. She's the SmackDown champion. Where was the
You're
queen
disappointed.
tonight? Yeah, it's
Yeah,
disappointing.
no Charlotte, no Sasha even too.
What gives? Shotzi promo. No Charlotte, no Sasha.
Yeah, it's weird. Well, it goes to show you SmackDown, I mean, 2 hours, it can go by kind of quick. And like you say, like you feel like there's not a lot of people. There's still enough people to fill up the show, so it's hard for people to get on the show, I find. So I think it's fine. Some people are going to miss it. You didn't see Roman last week. Now you finally saw Roman.
Yeah, well, it was FS1 last week. They weren't on Fox, so no need to have Roman. We saw
You
plenty
should
of
always have him.
Roman. Plenty. What?
You should always have Roman. I mean,
Yeah, but
he's the main guy in WWE.
he had to take a vacation. He had to get a little rest, which I think he
But
deserves.
I
He's
hate that.
working hard.
That's stupid. Like to give that BS story when people know he's there. He worked like a dark segment afterwards. Like,
Oh, yeah.
it's terrible when they do that stuff.
Yeah. I don't know why they didn't have him on TV if he was in the building last week. That is kind of weird. Matthew Henley, who I met at the MEW wrestling show, he's got a question. He wants to know who I think will win the Royal Rumble. I've said it before. I think it's going to be, although I thought Xavier Woods, I was hoping for Woods, but now that he won the King of the Ring, and I don't know if they'll do it. I'm hoping for Xavier Woods. If it's not Woods, I'd say, Triple H. I don't know.
Well, you're really just like shooting like random, aren't you? Like just
What a
whatever,
return.
like throw a name.
Haven't seen him in so long. He had a heart thing. He disappears from, it comes in number 30 in the Rumble. Roman Reigns. I'm the real head of the table. I'm gonna beat you at WrestleMania. No? That's believable.
No.
John, you've seen WWE booking. You know that
Yeah,
that's
I
a
don't want to
believable
see it
story.
though.
Super
Like,
chat. Huh?
I don't think it's a good story whatsoever. Like, do you remember Triple H and Roman Reigns? That was a
Yeah, it
really
was
bad
bad.
WrestleMania.
Oh, super bad. Didn't like it. So, I don't know. Who's your pick to win the Royal Rumble, John? It's 2 months away. Two and a half.
Well, it's tough right now, right? But I would say Seth Rollins right now.
Safe bet. But
Well,
isn't
that's it.
Seth
I mean,
gonna
it could
get the
easily
WWE?
change.
He's gonna get a WWE title match real soon, though, against Big E. Like, real soon.
Yeah. I'm not saying he's going for the WWE title off that Rumble win.
Oh, the Universe title. Shout out to Harold Schneider. Fist bump right back at you, Harold. Hitting the super chat. Thank you, Harold. That CM Punk Eddie Kingston promo looked pretty good. I heard some of it. It was pretty good. It got pretty intense. I'm gonna have to watch it again because I was talking to you at the same time and not really on it all the way, but it looked pretty good. It did look pretty good. Eddie Kingston was saying things about CM Punk that seemed like, he felt for real. Calling CM Punk like an egomaniac and a narcissist and how nobody likes him in the locker room. And I mean, he did turn his back on a lot of people in the wrestling business, and we've heard things about CM Punk maybe not being the most friendly guy to deal with. So I think Eddie Kingston playing off some of that in the promo looked pretty good. And I think they're going to do the match at Full Gear, CM Punk versus the Eddie Kingston. Nia Jax's been around the WWE for a while. She gets released. It's surprising. But Keith Lee, Karrion Kross, like those two guys, brought up from NXT, stars in NXT, brought to the main roster, repackaged a couple of times, like brought to the main roster as themselves, and then Keith Lee was the Bearcat, and Karrion Kross had all that weird leather gimmick on him, and now they just said, ah, fuck it. Released. That was a bit surprising to me. It was and it wasn't. It's kind of like the Aleister Black thing. Like, yeah, you know, Aleister Black is a guy who we're trying to push, but it's not really working, and let's just get rid of him. Lee and Cross are kind of in that category. I think that they'll find a spot in wrestling, though. They're both very talented.
I feel like with Black, like, at least they gave him some runs. Like, he had WrestleMania matches. He had WrestleMania. He beat Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania. So you felt like there was something there, at least. Or at least they were trying with Cross and Lee. Like, Lee, I think, had a couple pay-per-view matches. Seemed decent. But Cross was really just started out on Raw. The fact that they're like, oh, well, he's not getting over. It seems like they gave up way too quick on that one. I'm very surprised by that. Like, why build these guys up in NXT and then just cut them off like a couple months after that? That seems very, especially like Keith Lee was like the only ever double champion in NXT. They made him into like the biggest deal ever. I don't understand how it just fell off so completely. I understand he got COVID and he was out for a while, but
it wasn't COVID. It's just kind of a heart issue.
Well, because he got COVID, he got a heart issue.
Yeah? I thought it wasn't COVID.
Yeah.
I don't know. You okay?
Yeah. But still, like, I you know, that it's too bad that happened, but to just give up on him, I don't understand. I get momentum and everything, but it seemed odd to just give up on him so quickly. I guess someone didn't like him for whatever reason. I don't know. Like, in NXT, it seemed like he was the best thing, and then once he got to Raw, it felt like he didn't belong, which is weird. He should have.
I don't know what happened to Karrion Kross. That guy was pushed like crazy in NXT. Champion right away.
The gimmick was stupid.
Yeah, the gimmick was stupid, but it worked better. Like, the Karrion Kross presentation in NXT with Scarlett, so good. It was really well done. He was scary. He was intimidating. He comes to Raw. He's got no Scarlett. He's got this weird leather thing on his chest. The mask. What the fuck happened?
Yeah.
It's terrible.
I don't know.
What do they do? Like, well, they have something good, they push him real hard, and then they bring him up, and they're like, let's change everything and ruin him and then fire him. Why?
You know, I feel like, though they would deny this every day, I feel like Bruce Prichard has denied this many times, but it's sometimes they just bring guys up to just pretty much embarrass them.
Yeah.
It feels like they openly do that, and it's like they'll say, like, oh, why would we ever do that? Well, you do that to just destroy people and make sure that they can never be a draw whatsoever anymore in wrestling. That's why you do it.
Yeah, they're burying
people.
But
they'll deny that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're not going to say outright that they bury people, but that's what they do. I think they buried Keith Lee on purpose. I think they buried Karrion Kross on purpose, too. And if they didn't do it on purpose, well, then it just shows how inept they really are. If they actually tried in earnest to push Karrion Kross, well, it just shows you how terrible their booking is. It shows you how terrible their creative vision is. Which, honestly, if you watch SmackDown tonight, kind of think it's a pretty awful creative vision from the WWE. Some pretty terrible stuff we saw on SmackDown tonight. Scarlett gets released along with her husband, Karrion Kross. Like, Scarlett never had a shot. Mia Yim gets released along with her husband or fiancé or whatever, Keith Lee.
Did she ever show up on Raw? Like, didn't they talk about her a bit? And then,
never.
Okay. Wow. I guess they never really cared about her too much as well.
I guess not. They never did much with her. They had her in NXT. She was doing all right. Main roster, nothing. She was in Retribution. Didn't go well. That was it. Eva Marie comes in with Doudrop, has a little angle with Doudrop, and then is quickly released. I mean, I won't miss her, but what the fuck? Why hire her in the first place? What was that?
Well, that was them thinking that they could get more out of her kind of thing, and I think they just realized it was going to be more of the same. And it was fine for the time being. It helped get Doudrop over, right? But that's all they really needed to do off that, I think.
I think Eva Marie was released because she refused to get vaccinated for COVID. I think she's a vaccine one. It's too early to cut the cord with her, and they like her too much, like, to bring her back. I think it's a vaccine thing. I think Eva Marie is probably unvaccinated. That's my guess. She just seems like she's unvaccinated. I don't know.
Well, it's tough to say who is and who isn't. I mean, Nia admitted it, so.
I can tell by looking at somebody. I can tell if you're vaccinated or unvaccinated. Because I am vaccinated, and we have the chip. So I get the little ping in my head, right? You know, John, you're vaccinated too. We get the little chip, and when we recognize another vaccinated person, we get the little the ding, you know, from the Bill Gates chip that we're all implanted with, right? I have no chip.
Yeah, I'm not
it's
sure
a joke.
About that.
I'm joking about the chip. There's no chips. I'm just saying.
Don't joke with that. People actually believe you.
Yeah, I know people believe
that.
I know. I'm saying I'm joking. It's not true at all. I'm just kidding around. But yeah, I think some people you can kind of tell if they're vaccinated or not just based on some of the things that they say on their social media pages. It's kind of obvious which way they lean. Harry Smith apparently was another one of these people released because they were not vaccinated. Harry Smith, son of the British Bulldog. We had great hopes for him coming back for the WWE. Really excited. And yeah, there it goes. That didn't last. Didn't see him at all, really.
Well, because I think they wanted him to be in NXT UK, right?
Oh, well, and can't go to the UK.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah.
If he's not going to get vaccinated, it kind of ruins all the plans there. So, yeah, that just doesn't work. So that makes sense why they would release him.
You've known wrestlers who've been, like, unvaccinated, and then they were not booked on shows because they were not vaccinated, and then when they realized they were out of work – because they were not vaccinated, they realized, okay, well, fuck yeah, I'm going to get vaccinated so I could get this job, right? How come these WWE people don't care enough about that to get the shot? It's not worth the money for them? I don't understand. Harry Smith, it's like, seems like a good deal. All you got to do is get the shot, man. What do you think it's going to do, kill you? There's millions of people around the world that have got the shot. Are you scared? What's the matter with you? Take the money. Take the shot. I mean, risk it. Even if you think something bad's going to happen to you. Take the shot and, you know, roll the dice, man. It's good money.
Well, I think you've heard it from, like, Tony Khan, and I think WWE said it too somewhere, that they don't say you have to get vaccinated. It's encouraged, but it's not like you have to get vaccinated or you lose your job.
Yeah, but
and
it's
they
encouraged.
They kind of can't do that.
Yeah, but they know that they're traveling to foreign countries where they have to be vaccinated to enter, and it's a touring company, so what do they think is going to happen? They're going to get an exemption to tour? That's not how WWE works. And don't think that this doesn't coincide with their UK tour that starts, like, next week. Or maybe, has it already started? I think they may be already, some of them in the UK. Like the Raw brand may be already there.
Say it was this weekend, maybe?
They start this weekend, something like that.
But you're pretty much right on that, too. I mean, they're going to be touring. This is going to be more often now. They're going to be touring a lot. So, you know, when you come to Canada as well, they're doing television. For you just to be absent for a good week or two, that might not work in their plans. So why not? Like, you become expendable then because, like, well, we can use these guys who – actually get vaccinated and we can use all the time, so why don't we go with them instead of people that are come and go?
Well, that's it. It's easier to have people that you can use on all your tours and you don't have to have an exemption list of, oh, well, we can't do this, especially with storylines that you want to continue overseas and stuff, right? It's difficult. It's difficult for the WWE to have people that they can't use because they refuse to get vaccinated. WWE is already in the UK right now. They're going to be in London tomorrow night for a big show. So the Raw brand's already there. I think the SmackDown brand is joining them. They'll probably be heading over tonight to the UK, the SmackDown crew, because they have a show, I do believe, in Liverpool that is a SmackDown show. In fact, that may be where Charlotte Flair is already. Charlotte may not have been on the show tonight because she's in the UK. It's possible some of them already made the trip. Because I'm seeing Nakamura and Boogs. Nakamura and Boogs are advertised for the show in London. So that's probably why they were not on the show tonight, because they work in London tomorrow at the Wembley Arena. So that's going on right now. WWE is in the UK. Gran Metalik, Lince Dorado released. I was just talking about these guys the other day when we saw Kalisto on Dynamite, right?
AEW, and
I was like,
yeah.
And I was like, is Gran Metalik and Lince Dorado still with the WWE? And then you're like, oh, well, they didn't get drafted, but they're still technically part of the show. And I said, uh-oh, they might be on the chopping block. And here we go. They got released. They'll find work in Mexico or anywhere. They're ridiculously talented. Ridiculous.
They got to wait till February, though.
What?
Well, not 90 days, right? Because they were on the main roster, so they have 90 days no compete. Like the NXT people, like Scarlett, it's only 30 days, but for them, it's 90.
Well, that's rough. But I think they get paid during that time, so hey.
Yeah, I won't.
Keep making that WWE main roster money to sit on your ass for 3 months. It's not so bad. It's not so bad. There are worse ways to live. You know what I mean? That's what a lot of these WWE wrestlers need to recognize. You got released, but hey, you got to work for the biggest wrestling company in the world. Do you know how many millions of professional wrestlers never even get a sniff at the big time? You got in the big time. You made a ton of money. And even if you didn't make millions of dollars, you still made more money in the WWE than you would wrestling pretty much anywhere else in the world. Most places you wrestle, you're getting a fucking hot dog and a Coke. And some of these people don't even know that life. They don't know the life of making zero money and struggling to be a professional wrestler, making $20, $50 maybe for a match if you're lucky. They don't know that life. So just, you know, be happy that you made a ton of money in the WWE and your indie value is higher now than it was before you were in the WWE. If you even worked the indies before you were in the WWE, which, you know, Nia Jax did not. No wonder she's heartbroken. She's been making probably a shit ton of money for several years, and now the fucking gravy train is over. But the fact that she was even there is a privilege compared to, you know, when you look at the pro wrestling business and how many talented people never even got close to the WWE. It sucks to get fired. No one wants to get fired, but the fact that you made it close to the big time, you were in the big time. It's a good deal. Right, John? I mean, you know, tons of wrestlers who would love to be in. You would love to be in a WWE, but it's just, you know, it's not in the cards for some people, and it's in the cards for others, and it's just the way the cookie crumbles, man. So, you know, I'd rather watch you than fucking Rick Boogs. I'll tell you that much, John.
I appreciate that, but...
I mean, that's not a huge, it's not a huge compliment. I'd rather watch you over Roman Reigns as well, John. So there's that. That's a bigger one.
Yeah. Oh, they're doing Pac against Dax Harwood on Dynamite. They got a big 6-woman tag. Ty Conte, Anna Jay, Thunder Rosa against Britt Baker's group.
Not bad.
They're done. Well, this is the last Dynamite. Wow. Bryan Danielson versus Rocky Romero.
Oh, that's cool.
Huh. Again, this is the last Dynamite before the pay-per-view. So it's interesting.
There'll be in Norfolk, Virginia. Home of Hangman.
Well, he'll get a big pop, obviously. They're
doing TV in Hangman's hometown. Oh, no, wait, sorry. They're going to be in Norfolk the following week. They're going to be in Indianapolis for Dynamite. Sorry.
And that's six-man that we've
Oh, that's interesting.
About for Super.
John, they're going to be in Hangman's hometown the week after the pay-per-view. You think he's going to be champion? Well,
I've said it from the start, yes. Yeah. Like, so.
I just realized. Hangman's hometown a week after, like, Rampage and Dynamite double taping on that Wednesday, the 17th. Pay-per-views on the 13th. Yeah, Hangman's for sure winning now. Now I just realized it's all coming together. They're going to be in Indianapolis for Dynamite next week, and then Minneapolis, Minnesota for Rampage, and then Minneapolis as well on the Saturday for the Full Gear pay-per-view.
Now you're coming around. That's the thing, not me. Like I
yeah, I'm figuring it
thought
out.
Thought this for day one. There
I didn't realize the scheduling though, John. It's the dates. The dates in Norfolk, Virginia, right after the pay-per-view gives it away. That's a Hangman celebration. I mean, what? Why else would they go there right after the pay-per-view?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's all about the Budge. It's Budge versus Johnny Hungy right now. Main event of Rampage. Yeah. Johnny Hungy, main eventing Rampage, baby, where he belongs. Oh, I think he's going to do the Budge. Budge! Oh, super kicked. Come on, Hungy. He's not going to win, but I'd like him to.
Well, they confirmed the match that we speculated on, too. The Super Elite against Christian Cage, Jungle Boy, and Luchasaurus.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to happen for Full Gear. Apparently, yeah. Falls Count Anywhere match.
Oh, that's more fun.
Well, yeah, we don't have to worry about rules that way, so it's better that way for the Bucks.
I just think the Bucks and
don't have rules anyways.
The Bucks and the Jurassic feud is played out. Like, we've just seen too much of it. I'm tired.
It is, but, you know, you want them on the pay-per-view, and there's really nobody else, so.
No, you're right. It's just something for the Bucks to do. Johnny Hungy just That's gorilla match, pressed
really,
Adam
when you
Cole.
Think about it.
Huh?
It's opening match, you know, they get the crowd going.
Yeah. See that Hungy gorilla press? The power of Johnny Hungy. Gotta admit, the guy is super strong. Very impressive.
Well, they need to start pushing him as like the main guy in the Dark Order. I find that he's pushed as a star, but not as the main guy in Dark Order.
They do too much with the 10 and the 5 and the other guys. It's got to be more focused on Hungy. I agree. So Grand Metalik, Lince Dorado, I think are going to find homes anywhere in pro wrestling. Frankie Monet, formerly Taya Valkyrie, kind of surprised it let her go so quickly in her NXT run. But, you know, they got a whole new breed of talent in NXT. So I think they hired her with a different NXT in mind. And now there she goes. Mm-hmm. She's also married to John Morrison, who's still with the WWE. Which, you know,
we haven't seen much of him lately.
Yeah, he's been on Raw doing a little bit of a meditation gimmick, finding his chi. That was a thing. That's been a thing on Raw, just little John Morrison promos. But that's about it. Like, he could have easily been fired on this run, but they kept him, which is good. I like John Morrison. He's pretty good. His wife, Frankie Monet, did get fired. She could go back to Impact easily. She was a champion there. She was a big star there. I think AEW would work really well for her. She's talented. I'm a big fan of Taya Valkyrie. I think she could work anywhere.
Someone's asking what channel Rampage is on. Rampage is not on a channel. You have to watch it only online. That's it. You have to have an app to watch it.
Yeah, it's on an app. Shout out to Anthony watching us from London, England. Anthony, are you going to the WWE show tonight? Tomorrow night? I think it's tonight,
tomorrow,
technically.
He said, with his son.
Oh, he is going.
Well, I guess it is now tonight, but yeah, he said he was going.
Oh, awesome. He's on at Wembley tomorrow taking his son. Oh, that's awesome, Anthony, man. Enjoy the show. Enjoy the show. Let us know how it goes, man. Come back on the chat and let us know how you enjoyed that WWE show in London. Very cool. That's a place I'd love to see the WWE, London. Right? Wouldn't that be great? Great crowd, you know? That'd be fun. Haven't seen a show
in
London.
Hopefully they got a pay-per-view.
Yeah, they should get a pay-per-view. I think AEW is going to do a pay-per-view there. For sure. Well, that's great.
Well, just do a
Dynamite.
That would be a big thing for them first.
Yeah, but whatever. Dynamite and a pay-per-view. Come on. Those fans out there are hardcore. There's a lot of wrestling fans out there. They don't get a lot of TV from any pro wrestling companies. And to watch the TV, they got to stay up to all hours of the night, you know? It's like 5 a.m.
Yeah,
out there.
That's
Come
rough.
On. Yeah, it's rough. It's hard to be a UK or a European wrestling fan in general, man. Just because of the time zone over there, it's difficult. So I got mad respect for them for staying up late to watch this stuff. I mean, I watch it at a normal time. I mean, these shows start at 8 o'clock Eastern for me, and sometimes I'm falling asleep. I can't imagine some of these guys, right? Watching over in Europe. Right, John? I mean, we fall asleep sometimes watching these shows because they're so boring. And it's like 10:30 at night. And you're like dozing off on the couch because it's so boring. 2:53 a.m. right now for Anthony. I mean, you know, he's staying up. He's watching SmackDown. Like, SmackDown ends at...
Watching us.
SmackDown ends at 2 a.m. over there. You know what I mean?
That's rough. I would just PVR that. Like, I would not stay up that late. It'd be hard.
Well, you got to watch us, John. I mean, watching us is the best part, I think. We keep you awake.
Watch us live,
We keep the energy. We keep the energy going for the pro wrestling world. Johnny Hungy, Adam Cole in the middle of the AEW ring on Rampage right now. We're watching on the app. You hear AEW is going to do a streaming service? Apparently they're working on that. Next year they're going to do their streaming service. It's got to include the pay-per-views, right? Like, would you pay $10-$15 a month for an AEW streaming service that had the back catalog, maybe their pay-per-views included? Maybe the Ring of Honor video library too?
I mean, the Ring of Honor thing's a little tempting, but just with the AEW stuff, definitely not.
I've heard the Ring of Honor video library may be up for sale right now, so AEW picks that up for their streaming service, you know? Could help. Could make it more interesting. $5 a month, John. I'm trying to lower the price and entice you. No, nothing. You're paying $0.
Well, think about it. Like, I already see all the pay-per-views, so what's there really to go watch back on? We watch Dynamite every week and Rampage. We've seen every episode of Rampage. There's really nothing to go back and watch, really. If I want to see Dark, I can go watch Dark on YouTube. So there's no reason to backlog.
Say it costs you $120 a year, right? And an average pay-per-view costs you $60 for the pay-per-view, right? So two pay-per-views, it's $120.
Like
bucks. Yeah, okay. Well, two pay-per-views, say it's $100, and this thing will cost you $120. If you want to buy all four pay-per-views, it's still going to cost you $200 for the year. This costs you $120, and you're going to get all four pay-per-views. I would do that. Why not?
They won't do that. They won't do that, though.
Like, why not? WWE did
pay-per-views?
It. WWE did
it.
Yeah,
but
that's the best deal they ever came up with. That's the greatest thing WWE's ever done for their fans. I don't give a shit what people say about the network. You used to have to buy these pay-per-views. Then they were like, you know what? Fuck it. $12 a month, $9 a month, whatever it is. $10. Give us $10 a month, and we'll give you the pay-per-views and all our back catalog. Like, good God. The video library that you have for WWE Network, plus the pay-per-views, like, it's a pretty good deal. I love the WWE Network. I'll be a subscriber for life, man. As long as they keep giving me those pay-per-views for free.
The effort on some of those pay-per-views, though.
Well, they're shit pay-per-views, but still. It's WrestleMania for $12 a month. I mean, that's good enough. WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, Survivor Series, SummerSlam, those are worth it. Just those alone. And then the extra shit, it's good. Crown Jewel and shit, you know, why not? Some of these documentaries are good, you know?
It pays off in the end, but I find with AEW, because they try to sell the pay-per-views for pay-per-view, you're not going to get them at least like through that. Maybe you'd get them a couple months down the road kind of thing, the pay-per-views. You wouldn't get them right away, I don't think.
Well, I'm not paying for that.
Because they
don't have a big enough video library. They haven't been around for that long. The back catalog is like 3 years. Who cares?
Well,
UFC,
if they could get Ring of Honor.
UFC Fight Pass is good.
Because
they have, Ring of Honor, PWG. If they could add some wrestling companies to that, that'd be good. Maybe it'd be worth it, you know?
Right.
Do a package with New Japan World. Make it a mixed deal, you know?
Merge. Good luck with that. Sounds like a lot of problems with that.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Not going to happen. But like UFC Fight Pass, you know, they have a service that I subscribe to. It's like $100 a year or $10 a month, but I subscribe for the year because it's cheaper. And there's a lot of fights that you could only get on Fight Pass. There's tons of fights, actually, you could only get on Fight Pass. The app is really easy to use. It's on all the smart TVs and all the things. It's, like, really accessible. I love UFC Fight Pass, but they don't offer the pay-per-views there, you know? So that's a thing. You got to pay extra for the pay-per-views. But the back catalog for the UFC, it goes back. It's, like, every single fight that they've ever done since 1993. So it's a lot of stuff, especially for me when I'm doing research for fights, trying to prepare the previews and stuff. Any fight I want to go back and see, I just got to type in the guy's names and boom, the fight is right there for me and I can watch any fight in the history of the UFC and Pride and Strikeforce and WEC and, you know? So UFC Fight Pass is like a really good deal because they have the back catalog and because they have exclusive fights. If AEW could have, you know, a back catalog of a few different indie promotions and some exclusive content there, I think they'd be good. But adding the pay-per-views to the mix as well, like making the pay-per-views part of a streaming service, I think they would need. I think that would be that would put them over the top and get them a lot of subscribers right off the bat. Because I think if they don't offer the pay-per-views and it's just kind of a back catalog of some old matches you've already seen, I don't know how many people actually sign up. Because they don't have that longevity, you know? They got to offer exclusive content and they got to offer, like, good exclusive content and also, I think, pay-per-views. But we'll wait and see what AEW does. But apparently they're working on something for next year. Some sort of streaming service.
Well, I'll wait and see how that all works out. Again, for stuff like that, though, you got to make exclusive content for that. That's what helped with WWE was the fact that they had all those docs come out, like the Steve Austin specials they have as well. All that kind of stuff helps.
It's the pay-per-views, though, that really sell it. I mean, those pay-per-views were costing $50 a month or whatever, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, it's $10 a month now. Plus everything else. Like, it's pretty good. For me, anyways. For me, I was like, what? Free pay-per-views? I'll take that. Adam Cole just beat Johnny Hunter.
No, you're right.
Right? I know I'm right, John.
I mean, you weren't ever expecting that to be in doubt whatsoever. But, I mean,
yeah,
to get that main event spot, that's a win for itself for him, is it not?
Yeah, and he had some good offense there. Like, that was a good spot for Johnny Hungy. You expected Adam Cole to win, but Johnny Hungy got some over. It was an even match. That was good. I'm happy for Johnny Hungy getting that spot. Elsewhere in the WWE releases, Ember Moon, former champion, they released her. Sign her up,
former
AEW.
NXT champion.
She
I
was
don't
not
believe
a champion
she was
on
ever...
the main, No, eh?
I feel not. I feel only in NXT. She won the tag titles in NXT, and she won the NXT Women's Championship, but that was it.
They did a lot with her. She's a super talented wrestler. I don't know why they would release Ember Moon, but if I were AEW, I would sign her. Like, of all the people...
I think
people,
it was injuries again.
All the people that were released, who do you think AEW should sign?
Keith Lee.
He'd be your top pick?
Yeah. I think he's very talented, and I feel like he's very unique to what AEW doesn't have.
Yeah.
They stand out the most, I think.
I think you're right. Hire Mia Yim, too, while you're at it. Why not?
Yeah, sure. I mean, if she wants to.
I think she'd be good for their division.
Like, thing is, she used to be in Impact, so maybe she would want to go to Impact more. I don't know, but, you know, that's up to her. Again, 90 days, so you got to wait till February for these two.
All right, well, those are the releases. Have we got into SmackDown? Did we not talk about SmackDown? My God.
We've glossed over SmackDown. Talked about things here and there.
Yeah, Roman Reigns started off the show with a promo with Paul Heyman and the Usos. Roman says he took a vacation last week after beating Brock Lesnar, and he's wondering how the Usos lost to New Day last week, and he wants Jimmy Uso to make up for taking the pinfall last week. King Xavier and Sir Kofi show up, making fun of Roman Reigns, saying he's head of the table all the time. I thought Woods' promo and Kofi's promo was pretty good when they came out there. Woods says he's going to beat James Uso tonight, and when he does, he will bend the knee. James Uso, the stipulation was, if Uso loses, he must bend the knee to Xavier Woods and acknowledge him as the king, but if Xavier Woods lost, he would bend the knee to Roman Reigns and acknowledge him as the tribal chief. Fast forward.
It wasn't clear in the promo.
It wasn't? I thought it was.
Well, it was clear that, you know, if Jimmy lost, he had to bend the knee. But then suddenly they just added that whole, like, oh, if Xavier loses, he has to bend the knee. I don't feel like they ever mentioned that in the promo whatsoever.
I think Woods said he would acknowledge Roman if he lost the match.
Right, acknowledge and bending the knee, two different things.
I suppose. Roman Reigns backstage with the Usos. He says he takes one vacation on SmackDown and the whole show sucks. It's almost as bad as Raw. And then Jimmy Uso started laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And Roman says, "Hey, am I here to pop you?" And I was like, "Oh, I understand what you mean." He's saying, "Hey, Jimmy Uso, don't laugh. I'm not here to make you laugh. Pop you means, you know, kind of get you to emote, get you to laugh, or, you know, to pop." A
right.
wrestling. It was an inside yeah. wrestling term, right, to react. It was an inside wrestling term that he used. But for somebody who doesn't know that inside wrestling term, I think most people would think, because I kind of thought, like, what did he mean there? Do you think, am I here to pop you? Like, I'm not here to pop you, like, punch you in the face? Because that could also,
punch you. Yeah.
right? You know what I mean?
Right.
So it was a weird,
yeah.
it was a weird way to use it. It was very inside wrestling. I got it, but I think a lot of people maybe didn't get it. You think I'm here to pop you? And I was like, oh, that was a pretty inside term there, Roman, because a lot of people would think maybe you're here to punch him, but that's not at all what you meant in the context. So that was a weird little bit, right? It was strange.
Well, it just felt like he was just saying lines that people have been saying about the show, and they just like to throw like insider term to make it seem like it's very edgy, the whole promo, but it really wasn't, because it was planned for him to say all that stuff. So it's nothing that we don't hear every week where people are like, SmackDown wasn't good and this is almost as bad as Raw. I feel like that's tweeted almost every week.
No, Raw was way better this week than SmackDown. Way better.
I'm just saying what you hear, though, you know.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you some things, and you can hear them. I watched Raw, and I watched SmackDown this week. Raw was way better. Way better. Raw was actually pretty damn good this week. SmackDown was pretty damn awful.
That's rare, though. It hasn't been like that for a while.
Well, since the draft, it has.
Yeah, since the draft, that's very true.
Raw is the better show since the draft. Much better. Tonight's show would have been much better if Charlotte Flair was on, but she wasn't for some reason. Where's Charlotte? We got two more episodes of SmackDown before Survivor Series. Are we going to see Charlotte
wow.
versus Becky at Survivor Series? Yeah, it's surprising, right, John? We got two more weeks of WWE TV before Survivor Series, and they've booked jack shit for this show.
Yeah. It's going to be a bad Survivor Series, it sounds like. Just random matches put together, it sounds like.
It's in Brooklyn. The crowd will destroy it if it's terrible.
Well, I mean, it won't be bad in the sense that...
It could be bad.
You know, you'll see... No, you'll see a good, like, performance in terms of, like, the matches. It's just there'll be basically no build. It sounds like they're just going to do... Well, it's Raw versus SmackDown, basic tag teams against tag teams, you know. This match, you know, top four guys, top four females, the champions are champions, and that's it, just standard. We don't need to build that. I think that might be the thinking going into this.
Is Roman Reigns feuding now with the New Day building towards Roman versus Big E at Survivor Series, or does Roman face Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series? Because Roman seems still involved with both. Although it seemed like at one point we were going to get WWE Champion versus Universal Champion at Survivor Series, and maybe Raw Women's Champion versus SmackDown Women's Champion, but if we get that, it's Becky versus Charlotte, and then, you know, who knows? Charlotte wasn't on the show tonight, but Roman tonight was on the show. He did mention Brock Lesnar in his promo, but then at the end of the show, after Xavier Woods winds up beating Jimmy Uso with a roll-up and a handful of tights, Roman Reigns hit Woods with a Superman punch after Jimmy was about to bend the knee. Roman didn't allow that, hit Woods with a Superman punch, and the Usos and Roman beat up Kofi and Xavier Woods at the end of the show, and Roman was yelling at Woods saying, if you show up next week, I'll show you what a king looks like, and you're a cheater, Woods, you're not a king, this is my show, stuff like that. So Roman Reigns and the Usos, the bloodline, definitely in a feud with the New Day. It's 3-on-2 right now. Big E versus Roman seems like a match that would be made for Survivor Series. Is that what we're doing here?
Yep. Yeah, I think so. Feels like it.
Mm-hmm.
Although I don't think that's the best idea because you're just big building up Big E right now. So him taking a loss to Roman, not the best time for him right now. I think it's great what they're doing with him. Thought what he did with Kevin Owens and all that, like beating Kevin like that was good. That's the way it should be done for him. But you got to keep that going, like for him to lose to Roman, that kind of take a step back a bit.
Kevin looked really bad though in the aftermath of that match, right? Like,
Oh, you sacrificed him for Big E. Like, I get it. You know, you're trying to make Big E into something, so Kevin had to be sacrificed.
he was sacrificed though. He was certainly sacrificed in the afterburn of that match when he was like, "Hey, Big E, I didn't mean to. Like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And then Big E wouldn't accept his apology, and it felt like Kevin should just stun him. But Big E was like, "I'm not accepting your apology, and I'm gonna hit you with my finishing move." Made Kevin look terrible at the end of Raw there.
Sounds like a heel turn.
Hopefully. And it's not just, a weak baby face, because that's not good at all. So are we pushing the Big E versus Seth Rollins WWE title match? Because Seth has earned himself a title match, right? Are we pushing that to the January 1st pay-per-view? Because after Survivor Series, that's the next pay-per-view. And is that when we do Brock versus Roman again?
Strong possible. I think Brock, he might hold that off till the Rumble, to be honest. Because I think that's his next scheduled appearance. So I think
Is
that's
it?
what's going to happen.
So he
I
won't
believe
work that
so.
January 1 show. Really? It's called Day 1. It's going to
Maybe
be in Atlanta on January 1st.
he'll appear, but I don't think he'll have a match, though. I think he'll have something else. Maybe they'll have him and Xavier get that done over with. But they
Antoinette
gotta
saying,
build up Xavier favor
yeah, maybe
better.
Xavier. For the New Year's Day. Antoinette saying Kevin is leaving soon. Seems Vince is burying him. That's what it felt like to me. It felt like Kevin Owens was on his way out after the end of that show. I was like, oh, okay, I guess Kevin's leaving. That's what the crowd felt like too.
Nah.
They were like, I think Kevin's done. I don't know. He said, I'll be here, keep fighting for 3 months or 3 years. We'll see what happens. And his contract apparently is up in 3 months. I think he might be leaving. You never think anyone's leaving WWE, John, but I think he might be.
Well, you shouldn't. You're making millions. Why leave? You got a good spot too. I mean, you can say it's not good, but I mean, you're in the main event of Raw. It's not that bad of a spot.
Was Adam Cole better off in NXT or in AEW?
Honestly, NXT, he was the top guy. NXT revolved around Adam Cole. AEW, Adam Cole's there. It's okay right now, but I mean, he's not the guy. Like
NXT would
Bryan
not revolve
Danielson,
around
CM Punk.
Adam Cole right now, though, John. Do you think Adam Cole right now is better off and would have been better off in WWE or in AEW?
Well, that's different. Yeah, of course, because it changed. But I mean, for years, it was all about Adam Cole.
What about
Like,
Bryan
every
Danielson?
takeover felt
Yeah,
like.
I know that, but like, I mean, you see the way the wind is blowing. It's not blowing in the favor of these guys that were indie wrestlers and Ring of Honor stars before, WWE. A lot of these guys are getting eased out of the promotion. They're trying to start fresh, get a new brand of wrestler. They're looking at big, athletic, ex-football player type guys to mold into professional wrestlers. They're not looking at real wrestlers anymore. So a guy like Kevin Owens, I think, is on the outside looking in. That's what it seems like to me. But hey, I could be wrong. Although Johnny North is the guy who said Kenny Omega was going to go to the WWE and not AEW. So just
And I
keeping
see the
that.
tweets all the time about how, like, oh, it's the biggest regret of Kenny's life. People are keep saying that Kenny should have went to WWE. Like,
Yeah, the WWE
I see
marks, the guys that hate AEW, those guys that get banned from Twitter once every couple of weeks because they say horrible personal things about AEW wrestlers because they want to be like their hero, Jim Cornette. I mean, come on. The fucking marks
I
on
see
Twitter
some.
that get banned that have no that don't have their real name or their real face on their fucking Twitter profile. Those guys, come on. And you guys know who they are. A lot of those I see
I
them
see.
all the time, those anti-AEW fans. They have no face on their picture. They don't have a real name. And their views are like usually pretty horrible on everything, not just wrestling. hateful, well, hateful, you know, people out there.
A lot of people, and you can take this into consideration as much as you want. A lot of people feel like if you don't go to WWE, like you're not really considered like among the elite in wrestling.
Yeah, well, you can feel that way all the time. I don't.
Out there.
Yeah, but that's becoming less and less true, isn't it?
Well, AEW is growing. There's no question about it, but it's a slow build.
Yeah, okay. It's but not
not even close to WWE yet. Not even close.
No, but you can see that they're moving in the right direction, and the WWE seems to be spinning in circles. It's confusing television from the WWE. Let's talk about Hit Row.
They're trying to find their way.
Let's talk about Hit Row for a second, okay? They're not trying to find their way. They don't know what their way is. They're so confused. They don't know how to book wrestling anymore. Antoinette dropping a super chat saying, great job always, guys. Thank you, Antoinette. Appreciate you. And you are now the top super chatter of the day. Thank you, Antoinette. There you go. Let's talk about Hit Row and that debacle. They run into Sami Zayn backstage. Sami Zayn had run into Aaliyah and Jeff Hardy backstage and was telling Aaliyah that she should wear a pantsuit instead of her nice spandex gear that she was wearing. I thought she looked fine in her gear. Sammy wanted her to wear a pantsuit because Sammy is a locker room leader and he is giving advice to people. So that happened.
SmackDown wrestler, apparently.
Yes, longest tenured SmackDown guy, whatever. Hit Row runs into Sammy backstage, and Sammy tells him he's a locker room leader, and their entrance is just no good. It sucks.
A lot of sucking tonight.
Yeah, a lot of people saying it sucks tonight. Sammy telling Hit Row that they could be great, but they need to work on it, and he's willing to help them. So here is a veteran of the locker room going to a group of very new wrestlers on the brand. Guys that are pretty much unknown. You don't know any of their names, really. Sami Zayn, a veteran who you do know, is coming up to them and offering them some legit advice and really does seem to want to help them. They laugh at the veteran trying to give them advice and then ask if they can show them how to do a proper entrance. Sami is happy to do it and goes and does his entrance and dances around to his music. Sammy then gives a nice introduction to Hit Row. Hit Row comes out and they start running down Sammy on the mic and telling him that he sucks. And then Sammy goes to leave and says, all right, guys, I see this isn't going well. You guys don't want to take my advice. I'm just going to leave. And then they go and stop him and kind of intimidate him, kind of bully him in a 3-on-1 situation. And then Sammy's like, look, guys, I'm just trying to help. I don't want to fight. And they let him go. And then they laugh at him as he walks away. And the crowd kind of booed Hit Row. Because why wouldn't you? There are these new guys who are being very disrespectful to this veteran who you do know that is seemingly just trying to help. Maybe he's misguided, but he does seem like he just wants to help these new guys. And in pro wrestling, you got to listen to the veterans. Most wrestling fans know that's kind of part of the whole thing and the brotherhood and getting up and, you know, paying your dues and all that. And these guys, very disrespectful to Sammy, bullying Sammy in a 3-on-1 scenario, making it seem like they were going to beat him up and then laugh at him when he gets intimidated. No wonder the crowd booed Hit Row. Sammy's a heel. They're supposed to cheer them, but the WWE has no fucking clue how to book a babyface. And once again, it's obvious here. It's obvious when they can't figure out how to book Bianca Belair, can't figure out to make Becky heel. They can't figure out that Becky is a babyface, and it's just not going to work. And here's Hit Row. They try to make them baby faces, and it falls totally flat, and the crowd boos them. What a fucking mess that was. And not to mention, Hit Row, also you're supposed to be a babyface group. You lose the girl in your group. You don't give her a shout-out. You don't fucking say, hey, you know, we wish we were a bigger team or nothing. You say nothing. It's like, oh, well, WWE pays our check, so fuck it. Who cares? That's a heel group right there. Imagine if you're B-Fab watching this on TV. Like, goddamn, I was with these guys last week doing this shit. Now I'm sitting here and they're still on fucking SmackDown. They don't even say shit to me. Motherfucker. That was horrible, John. Terrible booking of Hit Row. Terrible.
Well, first with the B-Fab thing, like, that's not their fault for not mentioning her. Like,
yeah.
They're given a script.
They mention her, they're the next one's fired. Yeah.
Exactly. So you can't really go off script exactly. They'll lose their job. So they get paid to read the script and that's it. So don't really blame them on that one. And again, the booking's not their fault too, the way that was written. I think they were hoping more that Sammy would come off more as a jerk. He kind of was at first a bit, but that whole like 3-on-1 situation that looked bad.
Yeah.
It looked like they came off as bullies a bit and that didn't work. Like, I think the backstage stuff was fine, but yeah, in the ring, it didn't work very well. And that's also a nothing segment. Nothing really happened off that. So that's even worse. There's no action. So that, to me, that's the main reason why you boo, is just that nothing came off that.
Yep. It was awful. And it doesn't help Hit Row turn babyface. Doesn't give them any kind of love from the crowd.
Over.
No, it doesn't get them over. It doesn't
that's
do anything
the main
for them. Yep. Doug Hepburn says it's crazy. WWE has Owen, Zayn, Finn, Joe, Shinsuke, and Rude all ready to come up and carry WWE. And what happened? I mean, they changed direction.
Well, Joe's injury prone, though. That's a bit different.
I mean, there's a lot of guys that are successful in NXT, and then they bring them up to the WWE main roster, and it just doesn't work. I don't know anybody, really, that was successful in NXT that got moved up to the main roster that had success. It seems to be a curse, if anything. If you're NXT champion, it's a goddamn curse. How many NXT champions have had success on the main roster? Other than Seth Rollins. Big E and Seth. They were what, the first two champions?
Yeah, they were. I know it's rare. You could say Drew McIntyre as well, but it's a different story with him because he left, came back.
But, I mean, Sammy, Pac...
Bo Dallas,
there you go, Doug. Bo Dallas.
Wow, someone said it at the same time too. Wow.
Yeah, good stuff. So many guys. I mean, even Finn, you know, has as over as he was. Keith Lee, Karrion Kross, Andrade. I mean, the list goes on and on of guys that were NXT champion. Sami Zayn, you know, Kevin Owens to a certain extent. I mean, he had his runs on the main roster.
Malachi Black, right?
Yeah, Aleister Black. Was he NXT champion too? He was, eh? Fuck, man.
Pretty sure, yeah.
It's a curse. Who's NXT champion now? Oh, Tommaso Ciampa. Well, forget about it. Forget about it, Ciampa. You're never going to do anything on the main roster. It is. Come on, man. Ciampa's the NXT champion until they give it to the Steiner guy, and then Ciampa will be fired too, just like the rest. It's fucking crazy. Ciampa's fucked.
Well,
Ciampa's fucked. NXT champion, you're fucked. Yeah. It's a new curse in wrestling. If you're NXT champion, you are cursed. People take it as a badge of honor. It is not. It is a curse.
Well, regardless, though, he's had a very good run, though, in NXT.
Yeah.
A lot of great matches over the years. So I don't think he'll look back and be like, this was a horrible thing that happened to me. Like, it was probably some of the best things that ever happened to him in his whole career. So.
Yeah, but when you get signed to the WWE, you think, hey, maybe I'll have a match at WrestleMania one day. Not this guy.
Yeah, don't think like that. Not everyone should think like that.
Well,
sadly.
I mean, I think when you get signed to WWE, you have hopes and dreams, you know? It's like, oh, shit, WWE, you know? Maybe I'll win the Royal Rumble. That'd be sick. But very few of them can win that Royal Rumble, you know? Very few of them could be the top dog. That's why when you get these top positions, you better goddamn well perform. When you get these opportunities, you better perform. Roman Reigns? Think about what he's been given. It's pretty goddamn miraculous. Like, he's been given a lot. I hope he's grateful for all the things that he's been given. Naomi beat Shayna tonight with a roll-up, but then Sonya Deville decided that the match needed to be restarted because Naomi should have broken the hold with the rope break. It was very weird. Made no sense, and it was just a dumb reason for Sonya to come in and restart the match, which just distracted Naomi when Sonya decided to restart it. And Shayna grabbed her and choked her out, and Shayna won the match technically, but, I mean, dumb. So what happened was Shayna had Naomi in her chokehold. Naomi grabbed the rope. The ref counted 1, 2. Of course, at the count of 5, Shayna would have been disqualified. But Naomi or Shayna pulled Naomi off the ropes, and with the momentum, Naomi was able to roll up Shayna and get the win. And for some reason, Sonya Deville decided that that was illegal from Naomi, and she should not have won the match. And then they restarted, and Shayna won. I mean, how long? How many weeks now have we gone with Sonya Deville fucking with Naomi? At first, it was like, I won't give you a match, and now it's like, I'm going to give you a match, but I'm going to fuck you over, and it's going to be against Shayna and me in some capacity. Like, why is this still going on?
Well, I think it's just consistency at this point. Just to make sure people understand the story is still going. They aren't at the point yet to advance it. So that's why we're pretty much at a stalemate right now, which is kind of the same thing over and over, just different variations of what's happening with the screw job. But I think eventually it's going to turn around for Naomi. When you think about it in terms of like who's on SmackDown, I think Naomi's like the top contender, I think, to win the championship.
She's not beating Charlotte.
I tell me someone else who could beat Charlotte at this point.
Sasha Banks.
Been there, done that. I mean, so many times. So many, like, it's been done so much. Naomi's the one to do it.
They don't do anything.
She's the one they're truly building up, if you think about it.
I'd like you to be right, but I don't believe it because they never do anything with Naomi. Every time you think they will, they never kind of pull the trigger. They have a couple of times. Like, she's won a belt a couple of times, but she hasn't had any significant runs with
it. Won a battle royal at WrestleMania.
She should join the Bloodline, be a heel champion, but there's too many heels on SmackDown. And yeah,
you do that after.
And she's such a babyface, though. She's got no mean bone in her body. She's so nice, you know?
That's why win the title. She's such a babyface. As a face, then have a heel run as champion. Didn't Bayley do the same thing?
Yeah, but Bayley can be a heel. I don't think Naomi's got that in her.
Well, there's a story put in place where they could make that work. But again, yeah. Like, I think you've gone this far with this. You've built up so much sympathy for Naomi. I mean, at the very least, she's got to beat Sonya in a match, right? At the very least. But I think you can actually go all the way and give her the championship. I think this is kind of like the test to see if they can do that. Well, I think the main thing now is that she's got to keep it, in terms of her matches, just keep it simple. Because I find sometimes her matches go a little bit off sometimes.
Yeah, her match with Shayna was real simple tonight. Like, a little too simple.
Yeah, it looked a little rougher on the edges, no question.
It's not much going on there. But I like Naomi, so I'd be happy to see her win the title. Ridge Holland did a backstage interview so we could get to know him. And I guess he's Irish? He's got an accent, right? He's Irish? He loves Sheamus, so I guess he's Irish.
Yeah, I guess I never really heard him cut a promo, so I guess he is. And that's nice that he mentions all the Sheamus accomplishments. I remember those. And that's nice that someone gave him a list of all things like that. It'd be nice if that was actually true what he said, but he said it with barely any emotion whatsoever. It was hard to believe that wasn't BS that he was just like spewing. So, I don't think he's the best at promos, but he could remember all that. So that was nice.
Yeah, I don't believe him at all because he's from Yorkshire, England. He's not Irish.
Oh, there you go.
He's from Yorkshire, England, and he's 33 years old. He's a former rugby player. And he's 33 years old, so he's not like a kid that grew up watching Sheamus. Like, what? And he's not even Irish, so, huh? I mean, the accent didn't seem that Irish. I was like, what's going on with that accent? Is he supposed to be Irish? Because he seems like he's from that area of the world, but it didn't sound quite Irish. But he loves Sheamus. He's got this obsession with Sheamus. Are they going to be a team? Are they going to feud? Do we care? Ridge.
Well, he looks great. There's no question about that. But that promo, it felt fake. And, yeah. You know, you can say all the right words, which he did. But if they don't have true feeling behind it, you can see through it. And that was the problem with that.
I like Shotzi's promo. I thought Shotzi was good. There felt like okay. There was emotion there. Shotzi says, you know, I turned on Sasha last week because I'm tired of everything happening to me in the WWE. I've lost title opportunities, my tag team partner, even the support of the universe, and I've had enough. I didn't like Sasha patronizing me, and now she's the target, and I don't need a tank to take her out. I thought it was good. It was a solid promo from Shotzi, believable heel. I thought it was fine. I liked it. Compared to the Ridge Holland promo we saw right before that, I was like, oh, yeah, this is much better. Much more believable.
Well, I can believe her frustration with a lot of things, like how, you know, she was number one contender for the tag team titles and never got the title shot. So that was very frustrating, losing her tag partner, and there's no follow-up whatsoever, nothing with that. So, yeah, a lot of frustration with that. And then suddenly, whoa, I'm a heel now. So, yeah. I can understand a lot of that anger, and you can just put that into a promo. Super chat.
Where's her tag team partner, Tegan Nox?
Apparently on Raw somewhere.
I haven't seen her. I like Shotzi. Los Lotharios. That's the name that they're giving him. Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo are now Los Lotharios. Not even the Lotharios. Of course, they're Spanish, so they have to be Los. They beat Cesaro and Mansoor, though, who are apparently a tag team.
And Cesaro.
Yeah, poor Cesaro. He got the pin, not wow. Mansoor. The fuck was that?
That's a fall from grace for Cesaro. Remember, he was wrestling for the championship like a couple months ago, and now you're losing like in the second, third match on SmackDown. Yikes.
To Angel Garza and Humberto. Like, not even to Roman, you know?
And I'm sorry, but that finisher, that's not a finisher. That's a nice little tag move, but finisher? Oof, that's rough.
It's not good.
That.
I don't like the name Los Lotharios. I don't like the gimmick. I don't like that Cesaro took the fall. I don't like Cesaro was even in this match teaming with Mansoor. I think it's all bullshit. Cesaro's going to wrestle Walter on this UK tour. I wish I could see that shit. Ugh. I would love to see that match.
They tape everything, so I mean we'll see it somehow, some way. If they don't bring that to television, like that match, the tape of that match will come out somehow. So I wouldn't worry about it.
I love Walter. He's so good. Don't bring him to the main roster, they'd fuck him up so bad. Make him dance or something.
Yes. Stay in the UK. I agree.
Yeah. Stay away from the main roster, Walter. You're doing the right thing. You're so fucking good. Doug Heppern dropping a super chat saying he can't wait to watch Dark Side of the Ring and then the steroid episode and then watch our review after. Great job, guys. Thank you. Yeah, the Dark Side of the Ring steroid trials review we did last week here on the show, last Friday. I guess Doug missed it. Thank you for the super chat, Doug. I believe you are now the super chat leader of the night. Thank you, Doug. Ricochet answered Drew McIntyre's open challenge and lost after getting hit with a claymore. Never in doubt there. Mustafa Ali asked Ricochet to team up with him after Ricochet lost. Ricochet said no because Ali is not a winner. He's a whiner who always makes excuses. And he also is not very nice to his tag team partners. Treated Mansoor like garbage and he's just a jerk. Ricochet says to Mustafa, you're just a jerk, and walks away. So I guess they won't team.
Maybe wrestle each other.
Oh, how exciting. I mean, the matches will be good, but again, who gives a shit? Because they're not doing anything really with these guys. They're good wrestlers, but they have no creative direction. Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss host Happy Talk.
Yikes.
Actually had an in-ring segment where they talked. It was a promo. It was so bad. They do their little jokes. They're really bad. They laugh. They talked about Shinsuke and Boogs a bit. The Viking Raiders were the guests. Corbin says that they don't look happy. Because, of course, he's happy, Corbin. But Eric looked happy to me.
Somewhat. Not that happy. But
you didn't notice what was going on with Eric when he came into the ring?
What was going on with him? His helmet was falling off?
No, you didn't notice anything odd about Eric when he came into the ring?
No, what was going on?
I mean, I don't know, but he appeared to have a erection?
It could be just his trunks, the way they moved or something. That happens.
His little Viking was sticking right out there. It was like really just straight out. I was like, what the hell's going on with his dick? Does he have a boner? What's going on, Viking Raider? It was really strange. Just when he came into the ring, go back and check it out, okay? I'm not making this
that's
up.
That's something I look for.
Well,
it's
I
not something I look for. But
it's hard not to notice, John, when a guy's standing in the ring and his dick is like pointing. Usually you don't see that much dick. It's not something I bring up very often, but Eric came in and Corbin's like, you don't look happy. And I'm like, he kind of does. He kind of does.
Well, years of watching Val Venus, I guess, you know, you just get used to it, I guess.
Val Venus never had an erection in the ring.
I felt like they kind of made sure his trunks made it seem like he did.
I don't know. There was something up with Eric's dick tonight on the show. Go back and watch it. I'm telling you. It was weird. The Viking Raiders then beat Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss in a match via countout. When Moss was getting beat up, Corbin pulled him out of the match, and that was it. It was a countout. Viking Raiders against Corbin and Moss. Fucking terrible. What a garbage episode of SmackDown tonight. What was good tonight?
There was some good to this. I'm trying
was
to remember
there?
Exactly. Like I like, you know, Roman saying that
promo.
Line. Yeah, Roman's the best part always. Yes,
of course, John.
I feel like there was a good match somewhere. Like I didn't mind the Viking Raiders match against Corbin and Moss. Just the ending could have been better. But I think they were kind of stuck in a situation where they didn't want either team to lose, so that's why they did the count out kind of situation. But and I thought the main event was fine, to be honest.
I thought the main event was probably the best match we saw all night. Everything else was pretty bad. Like, not like, oh my God, these guys can't wrestle, but just like, wow, this is just not good in any way. Just kind of like, let's get this over with. Every match felt like, all right, let's just fucking go here. Like, ugh. Drew and Ricochet, like, I wonder what's going to happen here. Viking Raiders against Corbin and Moss. Who cares? Naomi and Shayna and that whole thing with Sonya and the match itself was just a little. Ugh. And Los Lotharios versus Cesaro and Mansoor. Like, get it over with. And that's all we saw tonight on the show. That's all we had. Like, slim pickings for match of the night. You got to give it to Woods and Jimmy Uso because everything else was pretty bad. Pretty weak booking on the show tonight. Two thumbs down for SmackDown. Raw was so good this week. Dynamite was so good. Even Rampage looked pretty good from what I was seeing. SmackDown is the worst show I saw this week, by far.
But it's like you mentioned, though, I believe because I think some talent have already left for the UK tour, so I think that's what kind of hurt them a bit here. So that's why you probably didn't get the best SmackDown tonight.
I mean, how hard would you work? Everybody, like, a bunch of your friends got fired yesterday. Now you have to go on a tour of the UK. You're about to make a huge flight. You're in Evansville, Indiana. Even Roman Reigns is, like, making fun of the town, like this nothing town. You're lucky I'm here. Evansville, Indiana. You're not even in Indianapolis. You know, where's Evansville, Indiana? Not many people know. It's not a huge city. So they're in Evansville. They're about to go on a tour of the UK, and everybody got fired yesterday. You think the guys and girls are in the mood to fucking work hard tonight? On a nothing SmackDown with shit booking? I don't fucking think so. I wouldn't be. I wouldn't give a fuck. I'd be mad. Thanks, Harold, for the super chat. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. But, I mean, come on, man. Morale's got to be in the toilet for this show. Fucking got to go to the UK, do this whole tour now. You don't get to go home next week. You don't get to see your family. You got to be on the road. All the travel restrictions, all the extra stuff with COVID is going to be a pain in the ass. I wouldn't want to go to England right now. I wouldn't want to travel internationally right now. Especially you're working and everything. Everybody's getting fired. It sucks. Bunch of disgruntled people in the WWE, I'd imagine, right now.
Well, it's not the worst job in the world, I don't believe.
Oh, there are
worse
jobs.
You got to remember, too, though, that the last year they weren't doing this whatsoever. They were wrestling with no fans.
Yeah.
So I imagine they prefer this scenario more, even though it's more of a hassle. It's better in terms of like what you're doing. You actually feel like you're working because they're not just doing one show a week anymore.
Hard to be motivated, though, you know? It's hard to be motivated to go to work if you're especially if you're a male wrestler. There's only so far you can go. Like, you're not going to beat Roman Reigns. What are you going to do? Everybody's under Roman. He's kind of the protected guy, and everybody's just going to, you know, go through the motions and hope they don't get fired. But they're never going to get the top spot. Everybody's just waiting around for The Rock to come and wrestle Roman, like... How you think that makes the rest of the roster feel when it's like, yeah, nobody really has a chance. It's this guy's show and everybody else is kind of a bit player. And Roman's not even that over. You know, if Roman was more over, okay. If he was lighting the business on fire and they were doing really great and ticket sales were up and ratings were up, then yeah, sure. But he's just this anointed guy that's doing an all right job as a top heel, but... He's never lit the business on fire, you know? And to me, if you're going to be given all that shit in the WWE, you should have produced a little bit more results for the company than what you've produced, which is barely anything, as far as I can see. How's those Bloodline t-shirts selling, you know? Like, how much money is he really making for the company?
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised he's the top merch seller. Wouldn't be surprised by that whatsoever.
You have to understand. He's a heel.
Yeah, but that's how over he is. It's insane.
He's like, not that over. What are you talking about? He's not drawing.
But that's it.
The fucking tickets are down. Ticket sales are down. Ratings are down. He's not drawing for shit, John. This whole fucking old Roman is his big draw is a fucking figment of the imagination of certain fucking marks and yes men in the wrestling world. He's not that over. When you put fucking dollars to donuts, the guy is not delivering like a top fucking star for the WWE. He's not.
Well, weekly, who's the biggest star right now? Weekly.
It's only because he's the star of the show. If you're cast as the fucking lead, you're going to be the biggest star. It doesn't mean you're fucking good. You just got cast in the lead role of the fucking show.
Yeah, we're living in the Roman Reigns era. This is his time now.
It's so fucking boring, though. Who gives a shit? You're living in this era that sucks. Hey, we're fucking living in the Roman era. Congratulations. He's going to drive the WWE in the toilet. The Roman Reigns era, since it's fucking begun, competition has sprung up all of a sudden, and the whole wrestling world's looking over there. Oh, Roman, you're doing such a good fucking job. AEW exists now, and they're kicking your ass as far as interest and momentum in professional wrestling. This guy's not a fucking savior. He's a killer of the WWE. You're telling me this guy's doing so fucking well. If he's doing so well, why are people leaving the company in droves? All of us, like, when Roman Reigns started pro wrestling, AEW didn't even come close to existing. Wasn't even an idea. Now it's fucking got two shows. They're going to do a streaming service. They got pay-per-views. They got all this shit going on. Oh, yeah, Roman's doing a great job. He's fucking killing the competition. He's creating the competition. That's how shit he is. There's fucking other companies starting up and doing better. Fucking John Cena was around. Impact Wrestling didn't go nowhere. Roman Reigns comes around. All of a sudden, fucking other companies are doing all right. Tell me he's the fucking leader of the business. He's a fucking joke. He's killing the WWE. Get rid of this fucking guy. Or at least get rid of him at the fucking top of your show because he's not helping. He's not helping. Ratings on Fox aren't fucking skyrocketing. Like, to me, if you're going to be the man and given everything, you got to be to the level of a Stone Cold or The Rock or a fucking Hogan. You got to be a needle mover. This guy is not moving the needle. Outside of professional wrestling, nobody knows this guy's name. Nobody gives a shit. Nobody knows who the fuck he is. He's a nobody. He hasn't crossed over. As much as the WWE has tried and put him in the lead role in all their fucking shows, he's the lead of the company. He's got the lead, but he's not fucking setting the world on fire with it. So fuck him. Switch. But they're not doing that. Because fucking his dad threatened the fucking jurors in the steroid trial. And had to be escorted out of the fucking courtroom. You think Vince isn't fucking rewarding the guy's son for that shit? Sees this guy, he's fucking Sika's son, he's got the look, he's got, you know, he speaks well, and hey, Sika was fucking threatening the jurors. He was in the courtroom mouthing, not guilty. Sika's fucking 6'5", 300 pounds, big scary fucking Samoan. Looking at the jurors with that fucking crazy fucking eyes, you know? And back in those days, people believed the Samoans were going to fucking kill him. They were escorted out of the courtroom. You think Vince doesn't have a fucking special place in his heart for Sika's kid? Fuck out of here. Nepotism at its finest. It's a fucking joke. You want to be at the top of the wrestling business? Fucking earn it. Fuck out of here. Entertain me. Move the needle. He's not moving the needle, John. You can fucking defend him all you want. How's the fucking show doing? How's ratings?
Well, SmackDown is still the highest rated show for WWE.
For WWE? How about on a Friday night on network TV? How they doing? Compared to all the rest of TV entertainment. I remember a time when Raw and a SmackDown even would fucking be at the top of the list. Of all the fucking shows because wrestling was on fire because they had legitimate stars that people really believed in and it wasn't about who was fucking anointed. It was about who's getting over, who's the crowd going with. Let's go with them. Steve Austin wasn't the guy that was supposed to come in and be the fucking man. Steve Austin was a guy that came in as the ringmaster. He was a guy that was a fucking WCW mid-carder. The WWE figured, oh, we'll make him a mid-carder too. But he had shoveled enough shit in the wrestling business, and he was talented enough, and he had paid his fucking dues to where he fucking took the ball and said, no, this is my show. I'm the fucking man now. And the crowd said, hell yeah. And the rest is history. And the WWE said, all right. Let's go with it, pal. Fuck it. Let's go with Stone Cold. The crowd wants him. Let's go with it. And they did. That was for Doug. He said he needed a Vince impression. There's a super chat for Doug. There's a Vince impression for you. They went with Stone Cold. Now they don't do shit like that anymore. And it started with Brock Lesnar. They fucked up the whole game with Brock Lesnar. They decided they wanted to just tell people who the top star was going to be. So they brought in Brock Lesnar, they rushed him to the top, and they said, he's your fucking top star. But until that point, we'd been conditioned to believe that if you're going to be the top star, the fans have to choose you. You have to pay your dues, you have to be around wrestling for a while, you have to be, you know, not green and gigantic. But they said, nope, Brock's the fucking guy now. And then they rushed Brock to the top, and Brock didn't like it. So Brock took his ball. He went home, tried to be an NFL player. That didn't work. Tried to be a UFC fighter. It worked for a bit. Then it stopped working. He said, well, I guess I'll go back to wrestling. Plan C. You know? And then they said, okay, well, we don't have Brock Lesnar anymore. What are we going to do? Well, let's fucking not go with one of our stars that's over. Let's not listen to the crowd, because we don't do that anymore, because we took out WCW, so we don't have to, because we're the monopoly. So let's just tell them who we're going to fucking push. And how about this Cena kid? And then they fucking take Cena, and then they just make Cena, and they shove him down your throat, and they don't give a fuck if you don't like him. And how's the fucking business been since then? How's it been since they stopped listening to the fucking fans? How has the WWE gone since they stopped listening to the fans? As far as, you know, creating moments and fucking legends and huge events and great actual television. So they have Cena. They make Cena. They keep Cena around. He's the guy. Shove down your throat. It's not organic. It's just like they decided. And then they're like, well, fuck it. It worked with Cena. Let's just do it again with Roman. I remember a time Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold, these guys were chosen by the fans, and then the promoter said, damn, this guy's hot. I better make him my top star. Now the promoter says, I'm going to make him my top star, whether he's fucking hot or not. I don't give a shit. I'm anointing. Brock was anointed. Cena was anointed. Roman has been anointed. And since they started doing this, it hasn't fucking worked so well. You got to listen to the fans. That's how fucking wrestlers get over. This is not what they're doing. It's, and Roman Reigns is another one of these guys. Fucking anointed to be king. Not there because he's on fire. Not there because he's a killer promo or has a great match. He's not the best in-ring wrestler in the world. He's not the best promo in the world. He's not. But he is booked in the WWE as this fucking unstoppable greatest of all time wrestler. And he just isn't. So when the fans see that, they see through it and they say, yeah, well, Just like with Cena for so many years, he wasn't the best. And fans saw through it and they said, yeah, but maybe RVD or Edge or somebody else. Maybe, you know. And we'd get it for a bit, but not entirely. And then it was like, oh, Cena. That's what you really want, right? No. Well, fuck it. We're going to give it to you because fuck you. That's why. Stop anointing
popular
people.
Vince meme.
What? Because fuck you, that's why?
Yeah, that's a popular Vince meme. It pops up a lot, I see.
Oh, well,
but
it's appropriate.
It is, but you just have to understand that, you know, wrestling has changed over the years, and now it's not about... Yeah, well, their business model has changed.
Yeah, well, they're fucking... The WWE has changed from the thing that we liked to this current thing. I like WWF. WWE is not so good. I don't think I like the WWE that much. I love the WWF. The WWF was great. And then they turned into the WWE, and everything went to shit. Bring back the Federation.
Well, they can't. But
I know, but I'm saying. I see you know what I mean? Like, we all have this nostalgia for this thing that was good, and we know what they can do, but they have this other thing now that's just this overproduced, glossy bullshit that you can easily see through. They treat their audience like total morons. And it's insulting. It's insulting to watch a lot of the time.
Well, they just want more control. They feel like it's better for them in the long run to control as much as possible. And like, you like those champions, those guys that became like larger than life superstars, but they were also renegades in a sense. And a lot of them didn't last that long, sadly. Like Austin, like, you know, he, unfortunately, when he came to the top, it only lasted a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
They were great years, don't get me wrong, but didn't last. And even with The Rock, too, like, his, you know, yeah, he had a second run in a sense as well, but it didn't really last that long, too. Like, it was only a couple of years as well.
Sure, but Austin's years were so great. Maybe he was on top for, what, 4 years? But it was so great, he left such an impact on the business. He not only brought the business up and made millions, and I mean, he made Vince McMahon from a millionaire to a billionaire. That was all Stone Cold Steve Austin. The company went public because of Stone Cold Steve Austin. He fucking changed the wrestling world. He was the man, okay? And still to this day... Saved wrestling, yes. And still to this day... I saw the commercial for WrestleMania. WrestleMania next year's in Texas. Who do they have promoting WrestleMania? Do they have any of... Is it Roman Reigns? Because that guy's going to fucking put asses in seats. Nope. It's Stone Cold Steve fucking Austin, who hasn't wrestled in 20 years. But they're still fucking pushing him out there to sell tickets in Texas because he's the only guy that they've actually fucking got over. He's the only guy that's a legit star that they can call on. He can't wrestle, but hey, you know, get Stone Cold to talk for us because, hey, he fucking worked. Man, we haven't had a star like Stone Cold since Stone Cold. Like, what should we do? How about listen to the fans next time somebody fucking gets over and go with them instead of just fucking picking and choosing who your stars are despite what the fans may think? And the WWE is so fucking out to lunch with this, it gets even worse because now they pump in crowd noise at an alarming rate. It's so bad now that when you watch WWE TV, you can barely hear what the crowd is actually responding to. You could barely hear if they're cheering or booing or what's really going on because you kind of hear this background noise, but on top of it, it's this piped in fucking crowd noise. So they're controlling so much, John. You're so right about how they control. They control who the star is, and now even if you're in the arena booing the shit out of a guy, if he's supposed to be cheered on TV, when you're watching most of us, it's going to sound like he's getting cheered. The crowd could be sitting on their hands, and it could sound like a huge standing ovation from the arena, because that's what the WWE is doing now. More than ever, they're pumping in this fake crowd noise to the show, and it's over-controlled, it's overproduced, and it doesn't feel real. You don't believe them anymore. You watch the show and you don't believe anything they're feeding you. You don't believe the crowd that's there even because they're piping in fake crowd noises. You don't believe that any of their stars are actually getting the reactions that they are trying to give them. Even when Hit Row got booed tonight on SmackDown, they get booed a bit, and then on top it's like music and fucking cheers and different shit because you hear the real reaction, and then you hear WWE go, oh shit, let's fucking pile on that and get rid of that. And they do it so fucking much now, it's a constant part of their show. Used to be something very rare they would use. Every once in a while, Goldberg's coming out. Let's pump in some Goldberg chants to get the crowd going. Now it's every fucking show. There's fake crowd noise, and you can't hear the crowd. You don't know what the crowd is actually giving you. It's that controlled to the point where they have to censor their crowd. And the fact that you have to censor your crowd, WWE, should be the warning sign that you're fucking up. Because if you were giving the crowd what they wanted, if you could understand what was gonna get cheered and what was gonna get booed, you wouldn't have to censor your crowd because you would be getting the reactions that you want. Not every crowd is trying to be in opposition to you, WWE. You just don't give them what you are supposed to be giving them. They have lost the plot. They don't know how to book heels. They don't know how to book baby faces. And that's why they have to censor the reaction of the crowd, because they can't do it anymore. They can't figure out how to get somebody over as a heel or as a baby face. It's failing on all fronts. And that's why they're controlling it and pumping in this fucking fake crowd noise. It is a goddamn abomination of professional wrestling that they're doing this fake crowd noise as often as they are. It's a goddamn shame. They should not do this. It takes you out of the show even more. Even more. It's so fake. So fake. I'm not saying wrestling's fake, but the WWE is fake as fuck. They gotta stop censoring the crowd, man. They need to get it together. And the fact that they have to censor the crowd, it just shows you. They can't get the right reactions for their people, which means that they're not booking them correctly, which means the writing is bad and the creative direction is bad because they can't figure out how to get the reactions that they desire. So they pump in fake reactions for TV so they don't look dumb. But when you pump in the fake reactions, it's obvious and you look even dumber. Right? God damn.
You know, it can be very frustrating, especially for like a longtime wrestling fan, to see how things are now.
Yeah.
But you just have to understand this is the way WWE is now. It's different monster now. So just have to understand this is the way things are. I mean, it's not all bad. Like, there's still some good shows. I mean, you enjoyed the last Saudi Arabia pay-per-view.
Yeah.
There's still some good. WWE.
The wrestlers are good. When they just let them wrestle and have matches, it's good. And when they have some stories once in a while that they can put together, it's good. But, you know, you can't get behind anybody. The heels and the baby faces are all fucked up. They can't book it.
I think it really just goes to show it's very difficult to have a weekly television show. And then add on the fact that you have two weekly television shows, one that's over about 3 hours, a little bit over, and then 2 hours. It's just a lot. And then you have NXT, 205. Like, it's a lot. And I think it just goes to show that it's too much for them, I think, at this point. But maybe cutting wrestlers is actually a good idea because they need to actually maybe do less at this point.
Yeah, but they're not doing less. They're cutting wrestlers, but they're still doing the same amount of TV.
Yeah, they are.
Right.
Well, they got to work on that. But, well, they're not going to drop television because they get that revenue.
Exactly.
But you can actually see, in a sense, we're getting less wrestling. I don't know about you. It feels like we are. I feel the shows are more about recaps, you know, and, like, the matches are very short. I feel there's actually less wrestling on television now with WWE.
You're not watching Raw. This week, Raw was all wrestling.
Well, that's it.
And it was a good show. It really was. But, I mean, it's rare, right? It's rare. But the fake crowd noise, man, they got to stop that. And when it's a good show, it's not because of the writing. It's because of the wrestlers. Like, they have a bunch of talented wrestlers. I'm not going to say anything bad about the talent. There's a lot of talent there, which is why it's so frustrating to see it misused. Disappointing. It's disappointing. They need to stop with the fake crowd noise. Let the crowd say what it says. You know, let the crowd be. And then fucking work off the crowd. Challenge yourself. Don't censor the crowd. Censoring the crowd is a cop-out. It's a coward's way out. You know, oh, well, we didn't get the reaction we wanted. Ah, well, fuck it. Let's just censor it. That's a coward's way out. That shows you don't know what you're doing. Simple.
Yeah, it's a big ego game in a sense. You know, WWE needs to believe they're always right, so that's them forcing their narrative on you, in a sense.
Yeah. It's weird, right? The way they try to control things. Like, don't you feel like they try to overly control things? And when you see through it, it kind of, like, it rubs you the wrong way? Because you, like, it's, they control things. They try overly to you know, it's like, no, we got to get this done. And then when you see through it, because it's so obvious, it makes you respect them less. They do so many things like that where, like, you respect them less. Like when Renee had the kid there and they congratulated Renee but not Jon Moxley on their Twitter. It's like, you're so petty. It's like, you see through you. Like, come on, just be normal. Just be nice. Be reasonable. They do shit like that all the time. And you're just like, come on, WWE. Get it together. Congratulations to Renee on the birth of their daughter. Nothing about Moxley. Come on. Former champion Dean Ambrose, say something. Just be respectful. You don't have to be such a dick all the time. I don't know why WWE has to be the dicks. It's like they like being the dicks.
Well, it's just, you know, there's bitterness sometimes. You can understand that. Like, sometimes things get heated and you get upset with people and some things are said and hostilities. It happens. I started reading Moxley's book. There was a lot of hostility in WWE. So I can understand why they didn't mention him. Because I think there was just a lot of bad blood that had been brewing for over pretty much since his run started. It's amazing that his run lasted as long as it did.
Well, it seems like a pretty hostile place. Wishing Moxley all the best. And you say it's hard to do, you know, all this TV. AEW seems to be having an easier time. Now, granted, they do a little bit less programming, but as far as their two weekly TV shows, they seem to be doing better than Raw and SmackDown as far as entertaining the wrestling fan. I hear all
Rampage
the time.
Rampage needs a better time slot.
Yeah, but I'm hearing all the time, and I'm sure you're hearing it too, from wrestling fans that are just fed up with WWE, and they're really invigorated by the AEW product. It's something that they can get behind. A lot of wrestling fans that are kind of off WWE are finding wrestling again with AEW. It's a fact.
There is that, yeah, of course. There is that, of course, but there's also, like, AEW is not exactly perfect. Like, there's a lot of things people don't like about AEW. It is something different. It is something that maybe reminds people of how wrestling used to be, in a sense.
Yes.
So, but I find AEW is very much a mixed bag, where it's like, yeah, you're going to get that kind of nostalgia feel, but then you're going to get a lot of, like, how independent wrestling's like.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get a lot of the good, the bad, the ugly with that as well. So not everyone likes that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's a fun mix, though. It's a fun mix, and it feels fresher, right? It does feel like a more, like, WWE is kind of stale. Like, you're kind of going through the motions all the time, and you know what to expect. AEW is a little bit more off the wall. It's not as polished, but I rather a show that's less polished but taking chances than a show that's really produced but just kind of, you know, A, B, C, D, real easy, real simple, right?
Well, I think the most important thing is that they feel different, and there's no question that they definitely do. So that's what needs to keep happening, in my opinion, because, like, if it's too much of the same, that was the problem, I think, with TNA, is that they try to be too much like Raw and SmackDown every week. And it's like, no, just be your own thing. That's what makes you stand out.
I want to give a shout out to Harold Schneider. I want to give a shout out to Doug Hepburn, to Antoinette. Shout out Brian Firth. I saw him on the chat as well. Doug Hepburn, I do believe. Yep, you are the Super Chat Leader of the Night. Don't forget to like this video, subscribe to this video, smoke this video, do whatever you got to do. Do all the things. Like it, love it, or leave it alone. Johnny, did you see the Kanye West interview with the drink champs? I watched that shit today. Tremendous. Might be the greatest Kanye West interview I've ever seen. I've watched a lot of Kanye interviews. I'm a big Kanye fan. This interview with the drink champs, with Noriega, was maybe the best. Maybe he's not Noriega. I think he's just Nori now, but he used to be Noriega. You know, Capone and Noriega, the rappers. You don't know who I'm talking about. And I know you didn't watch this. I'm just saying, that Kanye interview on drink champs was goddamn fantastic. Fantastic.
Why,
I loved
some,
it.
Well, Kanye, like, he, like, shaved, like, parts of his hair or something? Or
yeah, I'm going to do it, too. I'm
really?
Gonna get the Kanye look. I think I might. I feel like I should. Out of respect for ye. Jesus. Okay. Lil Fettuccini 69 asking Usman or Covington. I gave my pick already. Usman. What do you got, John? Kamaru.
Well, you didn't even have to tell me that. That was what you were going to pick. I mean, I'm going to go with you, because for the most part, you usually get the pay-per-view main events right. I think, like, you're practically perfect. So
I was off past couple.
Yeah, but I mean, you still have a more than, you know, decent winning record when it comes to the pay-per-view main event. So I'd go with your judgment. You're right more often than wrong. So
you're damn right. I'm going with Kamaru Usman. Freddie's going with,
I'm sure,
Kamaru.
AJ is too.
No, Freddie's going with Kamaru Usman. AJ's going with Kobe Covington because AJ, I don't know.
Wow, why?
Yeah, politics, I think.
No, I don't feel like he's into that kind of stuff.
AJ? No, he is. AJ is very politically aligned with Kobe.
Yeah, but, like, I didn't think that he'd let that, like, get in the way of, like, how he see the fight would go.
Oh,
like,
yeah. AJ's totally unbiased all the time, John. You know that.
I think he would just look in terms of who's the better fighter. I thought he would look in terms of that. Wow.
Yeah, right. We'll be watching the fight tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern time. I think AJ will be sitting next to me, which will be quite a trip. 10 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow night for the UFC 268 watch along. They're at Madison Square Garden. Kamaru Usman versus Kobe Covington for the UFC welterweight championship in the main event. Thug Rose Namajunas taking on Zhang Wei Li for the women's strawweight championship. You also have Frankie Edgar versus Marlon Vera and Michael Chandler versus Justin Gaethje. A hell of a pay-per-view tomorrow live in New York City. We'll be live tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern time, watching that pay-per-view with you right here on the Ringside Report Network. Johnny and I will be back next week after all the wrestling. I'm here after every episode of Raw, every episode of Dynamite, and every episode of SmackDown, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, right here after the wrestling on the Ringside Report Network. Don't forget to check us out tomorrow night for the UFC 268 watch-along. Thank you to all our supporters, all our super chatters. Doug, you are the super chat leader of the night. Thank you to you out in Kingston, Ontario. Appreciate you, and we will see you again tomorrow.